Okay, everybody says good morning. Good to be back. Nice to see everyone back after Yom Tov. Hope everyone had a wonderful Yom Tov. I want to thank everyone that was mishtatif in the pre-Pesach gift. It was extremely appreciative. It means a lot to me and my family. I know Pesach is an expensive time for everyone. Everyone has their own headaches of what where their money needs to go. So to allocate some money for other people is a real amazing thing, and it's very heartwarming, and it's much appreciated. Now that Michael's not here, I can thank him for being in charge of it and making sure it happens, and all that he does for this year. So I thank everyone for your hashtatvas, and Mr. Shem, we should continue to get together and continue learning a lot of Torah. We have a lot to get to.
If you would really
match him, we could even get it's worth noting the patira of Nota Greenblatt Zatzal. I don't know how many people read about it. Nota Greenblatt was one of the way they wrote in the article, and it's 100% true, he was the rabbi's rabbi. Nota Greenblatt was a rabbi in Memphis for many, many years. That's why many people never heard of him.
Because his
son. Oh, yeah?
Nah.
Oh, really? Wow. So he was an amazing Rav. I only found out about him. I actually got his phone number much later on. By then already it was hard to call him. But those that are involved in Gittin, and those that are involved in Seamus, and how to write a get, and how to write a ksuba, he was the man you went to. He was one of the experts in the country, even in the world, about Seamus on Gittin, and on Kedushin, and ksubas, and everything. But he was an amazing American boy. Fascinating story about his life. Can read about it. Just an interesting gadol, but a big gadol. He was the uncle of the Rivvois Ephraim, of Ephraim Greenblatt. And that was his uncle. They both lived in Memphis, Tennessee, for the bulk of their life. Talmud of Rav Moshe. They say that he used to answer when someone used to call Rav Moshe for a shayla. So if it was an easy shayla, one of the bacham answered it. So that was his job for 3 years. He answered the light shaylas. The complicated ones they sent to Rav Moshe. That was his job for 3 years at MTJ. But I think the Levi is today in MTJ. But a loss to Klai, or one of the great paiskim of our generation. And many Rabbanim, I know of many Rabbanim who turned to him for many complicated shaylas. So it's definitely a loss for Klal Yisrael. In this past week's parsha, I think we find an interesting idea when the Torah tells us that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to go to the Kodesh HaKadoshim anytime he wants. And Rashi says, why not? Because he's going to get you too used to it. It's going to become maybe the day Rogel. He's going to get too familiar with the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Chaim Shmulevitz points out that you see from over here that even someone as important as Aaron HaKohen in such an important place like the Kodesh HaKadoshim, with over time you eventually get desensitized. Over time, eventually you lose that chashivas. And I think it's an important message in life, because very often in life we get bored. Things become routine and we get bored. Think about it. We daven 3 times a day, every day for our whole life. At some point, it's going to eventually get boring, davening. It's going to get boring. It's not exciting anymore. It's not interesting anymore. And you can only be so creative. You can't, like, make up your own bracha or something. So it gets very hard how to continue to have excitement in something which is very routine. So I think the answer, the person has to find ways to make davening or even shul, you know, inspiring to him. You have to find something in the davening that talks to you, that reaches out to you, and therefore makes it inspiring. Because any normal person, after a while, is going to get bored of davening. You do the same thing day after day. There's no excitement there. Yeah, Yom Kippur and Ne'ilah were excited. Yeah, okay, it's a big deal. You know, Yom Tov were excited. But a regular Tuesday Shachris, a Tuesday Mincha, there's no excitement there. It's okay, you do it because it's part of your, you know, schedule. I go to shul, I go to work, I daven, you know. You got to find a way, and it's not easy. And the Torah is telling us in this week's parasha that when a person gets used to something, it eventually becomes devalued. That's why Aaron HaKohen couldn't go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim every single day. I always tell this to Chassanim. There's a famous Gemara Nida. The Gemara Nida asks, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu institute the concept of Nida? Why can't couples just live together all the time? So the Gemara says, quoting from Reb Meir, because if you'd be allowed to live with your wife anytime you want, eventually you'd get disgusted by her. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. Many non-Jewish therapists, when they're dealing with Shalom Bayis in the Goyish world, they advise the couples to go like on a Nida campaign, to not be together, not touch each other, to bring back that spark to their marriage. I always tell this to the Chassanim, because, you know, when a guy is 20-something years old, his whole life he's been waiting to be with a girl, then I tell him, you know, by the way, you can only be with your wife, like, you know, best 2 weeks out of the month. The guy's heart drops. Like, what do you mean? This is what I signed up for. So I explained to him, no, how beautiful this is, because if you can be with your wife all the time, there's a very strong loss of the Gemara. The Gemara says she becomes disgusted by you. Anything in life, if you ate steak every day of your life, you'd be sick of steak also. So how are we supposed to not get sick of davening? How are we not supposed to get sick of spirituality? So the answer is, we have to find ways that we find make it fresh. You know, each one of the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei call to us at different points in our life. You know, the bracha of Rifa'enu over the last couple of years meant something very different than it did 5 years ago. The bracha baruch aleinu. The bracha of, I say the bracha of chayin adas means something different. When you're younger, so you think you know everything, so you don't need das. As you get older, you realize you don't know everything, so you need some das. For panasa, you need das, right? Rabbi Yaakov Hamnetsky used to say that a Rebbe has to have extra kavan chayin adas. He needs to have extra das. Teaching Torah, you have to have das. All the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei call out to us at different points in our life, perhaps differently. And if we have to remember that as we daven every day, we have to try to keep it as fresh as possible, even though it's going to, by nature, it's going to get somewhat boring, but we have to find ways to be mechadish it and to keep it exciting. That's why we had off last Sunday, because we would never have off on a Sunday. Eventually, the shiur would get boring. So we took off last Sunday. This way, we come back more exciting, and it doesn't get boring. Okay. So I'm sure everyone remembers where we're up to, right? Right. So I was when they honored Rav Herschel Schechter in YU for his 50 years as a Rebbe. So they interviewed Reb Shai over here. And Reb Shai said he learns with his father once a week. And he says that whenever he learns with his father, he always gets interrupted because people come and ask Shailos. He says whenever he comes back the next week, his father remembers exactly where they're up to. He says he doesn't remember what they were up to, but he says his father remembers exactly the word they were up to in the Gemara because he has such a love for Torah. So I'm assuming everyone here has the same love for Torah. So everyone remembers the word that we left off with, whatever it was, 3-4 weeks ago, the last time we learned Ksubis. Okay?
I hope you saw the video of Rabbi Schechter giving a shir.
It's a great video, yes. With the kiddush, with the girl, with the granddaughter. That video sums him up in a nutshell. But in any case, I'm sure everyone remembers we're holding at least in Ksubis, okay? At least that much we remember. Okay? So we're holding over here in a new sugya, actually. I'm going to give you a little bit of the background, and then we're going to get into the sugya, but it's really only a hakdama to the sugya. We left off in the Gemara. The Gemara had a kasha. We have a Mishnah in Maseches Makis. The Mishnah in Maseches Makis is a whole list of women that if you live with them, you get Malkus. That list is the exact same list of the women that the Mishnah says you, if you are Ma'anis them, or if you're Mefata them, you have to pay them Knas. So the Gemara has a problem. We have a rule that when Malkus and Mammon is coming in conflict, when a person does something that he deserves malchus for, and he also deserves mammonis for, so the Gemara says he only gets one out of the two. Mishalim ve'ena loike. He pays and doesn't get malchus. So the Gemara has a question. If living with your sister gives a malchus, so how can you pay kanas for living with your sister? So that was the starting point that the Gemara had a kasha. So the Gemara came up with all these various creative answers to understand why in the Mishnah in Malkus there's no kanas. Either she's above the age, or she was a shayta, all these different answers to why there is no kanas. But the Gemara wants to know the following. Number one. Says the Gemara, you see from Ula, who was Ula? Ula was the one who tried to be miyashiv the two Mishnais, the Mishnah in Makis with the Mishnah in Ksubis. And Ula came up that the two things can never come together. If a person does something that gives him Malkus and something that makes him pay Mammon, he cannot get both, he only gets one or the other. So for the Gemara, how does Ula know this? How does Ula know that when a person does something that gives him malchus and mominus, he only gets one of the two? Now, the simple answer would be what? How does Ula know this? It's based on Kedei Rishasai. If you remember way back, we had an idea that there's two types of Kimlei B'Dramini. Reb Chaim brought this out even clearer. There's two types of Kimlei B'Dramini. There's Misa and Mammon, and then there's Malkus and Mammon. Right, a person does something, he shoots a guy with a gun, and while he's shooting him, the bullet rips through his shirt and rips through his heart. So he rips his shirt and he kills him. So he only has to pay one. How do you know that? So that, Reb Chaim says, that we learn from a pasuk by, that we don't learn from Kedei Rishasai, so that we learn from Imlo Yehoson. It says in the Chumash that if you push a pregnant lady and she dies, so the Gemara says, well, it depends. If she dies, and therefore you chayiv misa, so then you don't have to pay for the Dmei Vlodas, you don't have to pay for the unborn baby. But if the woman doesn't die, then you have to pay for the unborn baby. So that's how we learn Misa and Mammon. But there's another pasuk in the Chumash, and this is what we're going to get into a lot today. It says in the Chumash, Kedei Rishasai, Bezdin can give only one punishment. Mishum Risha Achas Ata Mechayvoi, because of one punishment Bezdin can give, V'yata Mechayvish Tei Rishasai, but you cannot give two punishments. And Reb Chaim explained that these are two very different Yisaidis. Reb Chaim explained that Misa and Mammon is a Ptur. If a person shoots someone and kills him and rips his shirt, the pshat is that he's actually Potter from the Mammonis. But when a guy hits someone in the face and is now Chayv Malkus for hitting him and Chayv Mammon for breaking his nose, says Reb Chaim, that's not a Ptur. You're not Potter from the money. It's just that Bezdin can't force you to pay the money because of Kedei Rishasai. Kedei Rishasai is a legal rule. Bezdin cannot make you pay two things. So therefore, says Reb Chaim, they're working very differently. Now we'll see in our sugyo.
That only applies to
Malkus? Malkus and Mammon, right. Malkus and Mammon is not a Ptur. Misa and Mammon is a Ptur.
Even though Misa is also being given by Bezdin?
Correct. Even though they're both coming from Bezdin, but since, points out Reb Chaim, they're learned from two different places, the alumnus is different. When a person does Misa and Mammon, says Reb Chaim, they're the Torah patted him from the Mammon. What nafkamina does it make? So we spoke about many nafkaminas. Let's say, for example, the Bezdin kills Reuven. Reuven killed Shimon. Now Bezin kills Reuven. So Reuven, the mishpacha comes to Reuven and says, before he dies, give us the money. He says, I don't have to pay the money. Kim levi d'ramini. So the family says, no problem. We're going to take it ourselves. They break into Reuven's house at night and they steal Reuven's stuff. So that's called tfisa. They grabbed it. Would they be allowed to keep it? So according to Reb Chaim, they would not be allowed to keep it because it's a ptur. The Torah pattered Reuven from paying any payments to Shimon's family. However, when it comes to Malkus and Mammon, that's not a ptur. The Torah didn't pater you. The Torah said, I have a legal system, and in the legal system, Bezdin can only give one type of punishment. But therefore, even if Bezdin can't make you pay the Mammonis, but if you circumvent Bezdin, and you go to the guy's house and you take his laptop, so it's not Bezdin giving the Rishab, it's you doing it on your own. Therefore, in that case, Bezdin would not force you to give it back. What would another nafkamina be? Karis. Right? You can't call Karis, can't be Bezdin and Manashut. Bezdin doesn't give Karis. So if it's because of Risha Achas, so Bezdin doesn't give Karis. So let's say someone does something that gives a Chi of Krisus and a Chi of Mammon. You can't exempt him because of Kedei Rishase, because it's not two Rishas that a Bezdin are giving. Bezdin doesn't give Karis. That would have to go under the other category of Imloya Os.
Isn't it also different that by Mises based in? If there was some kind of flaw in the Hasra or whatever, so they couldn't give him Beis.
Yes, yes.
They couldn't do it.
Correct.
So he's still going to get Misa eventually from Misa de Shemayim, right?
No, he's not. He's going to go off. He's going to get
scot-free, but it's not going to be forgotten.
So we spoke about that.
As opposed to Mama, they could enforce it.
So that's Machlokes in the Gemara. Let's say,
in other words, the power of Beis to give Misa, to enforce that is different than to enforce Mammon.
Right, now let's say a guy kills someone accidentally. He makes a crash in a car. Accident. Is there still Kim Lev Dramini? So we know that's a Machloikis Tanoim. Some Tanoim hold, even in that case, there's still Kim Lev Dramini. Now that guy's definitely not going to get killed. He was a Shaykh. Right? And there's still going to be Kim Lev Dramini. So how do you explain that? So maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that today. So
in the case where there's no Patur, so they go into the house and they steal, and they take the stuff.
Typhus,
are they overgotten?
Yeah, if you have no right, if they have no right to be typhus, then they're gonna them, right?
But Deltina, there's no tour here.
Right, so that might be totally in the lumnus. If you hold like Reb Chaim, that when there's Malkus and Mammon, it's Taka Kedei Rishos, and Kedei Rishos is only a legal problem, right. So then they have the right to be typhus.
They still have a claim.
Right. That's an Afghamina, right. But by Misa and Mammon,
there's no Gzela.
Correct. But by Misa and Mammon, they have no claim. The Torah parted you. You don't like the rules, too bad. But the Torah exempted you from paying. That's the way Reb Chaim set up the sugya. Okay, so now let's continue with this concept. So what do we have? We have over here Rashi. Rashi tells us, why can't a person get Malkus and pay? What's so bad? So Rashi number 2, Dinafkam on the Kamon, we learn it later on, Michtei Rishosai, from the Pasuk of Michtei Rishosai, Misham Risha Achas Ata Mechaivoi, you can't be Mechaiv for two wrongdoings, V'yata Mechaiv Mishtei Rishosai, only one wrongdoing. Bezdin cannot punish you for two things you did wrong, one or the other. So the question really is, so how did Ula know which one of the two to give you? Good, I can't get both. I can't get Malkus and Mammon, so now I have a choice. One of the two, which one do you get? So the Chiddush of Ula is, of the two choices, he thinks he give the Mammon and not the Malkus. That's the Chiddush of Ula. How does Ula know that? So we're going to learn, Blina, the next week, maybe even this time this week, we'll see how does Ula know which of the two to give. But the concept not to give both is Pashat. You don't give both because of Kedei Rishasim. The question just is, of the two, which one to give? So Ula has a drasha of how do you know which of the two to give? Fine. Okay, good. Right. So again, Risha Achas is the drasha. That's really
and
the real drasha.
Pay them, get Malkus.
So that we're going to talk about a little bit today. Let's see,
guys allowed to get a Malkus.
Right. Let's see, have a Meshuggah guy.
You're also compensating somebody for their loss. That makes more sense than.
So let's see. So you can't get both. So the Gemara says Ula holds, you give Mammonis and not Malkus. And now this following Shaila is like this. We're going to go.
This colorway on the. My question is, if one person does it to two different people, is it Kedei Rishoso of the person who did it, or does it make a difference of the subjects?
No, Kedei Rishoso means. Right, so that's that we discussed in the Gemara. There's one mandom in the Gemara that holds Mamma Lazel, Misa Lazel, you still say Kim the Rambine, right? There was such a sheet like that in the Gemara. So then he holds it's not about the people, it's about the one guy. The one guy who does the rush, even though he did two Rishois.
I'm saying by Mamma, then if you give it to one, in other words, let's say you still for two people with one shot, it should fit.
Right.
And you have to give it to one, you have to give it to both.
Right. So the Gemara had a tzad that even when it's Mamma Lazel, Misa Lazel, we still say Kim the Rambine. That was one opinion in the Gemara. What would be Mammon? You'd have to pay the full Mammonis. You'd have to pay whatever the Mammonis is. You'd have to pay whatever you owe each party. You have to each party.
What's the mumminess here?
We'll talk about a bunch of different cases.
Is it just reimbursing?
So case in our Mishnah is the mumminess that you have to pay for being ma'anis a girl, for raping a girl.
Right.
That's in our case. Now, we're going to discuss today three other cases of mumminess. Mumminess and malchus that come in conflict. The easiest example would be...
punishment, there is one that you have to pay the person.
Good.
The law.
So that's what we need to talk about. So let's talk about the simplest case. You punch a guy in the face. So we'll talk more about this hopefully next week. There's a law in the Torah to hit someone in the face. If you hit someone in the face, you get malchus. But you hit someone in the face, you also cause them a loss. So which one do you get? So you pay the mumminess, you don't get malchus. Fine. But here's a very interesting machlokes rishayim. We'll start off with this.
So what's it sorry for the four or five items that you get? That's only by Anisha?
No, that's by a man also.
That's what I'm saying. Plus, you have that case right
now. Oh, good. We're going to talk about that. That's going to be a kash on the Gemara later on. We'll get to it. Yeah, we'll see. How in mumminess, it has to be that way.
Yeah.
If it's not, what the Torah write it for? Good. We'll get to the Mistama next week. So
why don't you just conclude that you pay and you don't get mumminess? What's paying is the rabbi?
No. Well, Ula has a drusha. We're going to see. Ula has a drusha. That he learns.
I just want to understand, on your perspective. The guy's a wealthy guy, he'd rather pay.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
The guy's a poor guy, he'd rather get mobbed.
We're going to talk about it. Yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to that later. If you have a guy who decides, I'd rather get beaten up than pay.
Right.
We'll talk about it. Okay. We'll get to that hopefully a little later today. So now, for now, let's just assume that it's a drasha from somewhere in the Torah that when mumminess and malchus come in conflict, you give the mumminess and not the malchus. So here's the following shiloh. Let's say a guy owed mumminess to a ger. Let's say a guy owns money to a ger. For whatever chiv mamonis he has to the ger. He was mazik the ger, he was goyin of min ager. So he has a chiv mamonis to the ger. But he did something that also carries a lav. Right, let's say a person stole from a ger. Good. So they bring him to Bezdin, and Bezdin says, well, you can't get both. You can't get malchus and mamonis. So mishalim ven aloike. Fantastic. So Bezdin paskel mishalim ven aloike. Then what ends up happening is the ger dies. And now the ger is no yorshim. So there's no chiv mamonis anymore. Do we say that now the chiv malchus kicks in? Because the only reason why you exempt from the Chiyav Malkus, right, the only reason why you exempt from the Chiyav Malkus was because the Chiyav Mamanis overrode the Chiyav Malkus. But now there's no Chiyav Mamanis because he's a Ger. Shemez Vein Lo Yarshim. So Ger, Shemez Vein Lo Yarshim, do we say that the Chiyav Malkus returns?
Well, why are we saying there's no Chiyav Mamanis? It can't be.
There's no Yarshim. So how do you look at Ger, Shemez Vein Lo Yarshim? So again, practically there is no Chiyav Mamanis. But how do you look at that? Do you look at it and say, well, there is a chiyav mamonis, but it's like you're giving from the right pocket to the left pocket? Or do you say there is no chiyav mamonis? The Torah said there is no monetary obligation when you steal from a ger and he has no one to pay it back to. And the third way to look at it and say is, well, who cares? At the time of the Psak Bezdin, you were chayav mamonis to the ger. The grad that happened that by the time you got around to paying it, the ger died and had no yorshim. Who cares? It's a one-time thing.
You pay. You say you punch, kill the ger. So then what's the chiv at that point? What's my chiv if I punch a ger and I kill him?
So then
it didn't mumminess and also didn't, I don't know what the lob is.
Right, there'd be chiv misa for killing him, and there'd be mumminess for whatever damage. And then it would be chiv diamond at that point. Correct.
There's no mumminess there at that point. That mumminess happens.
Right, then it would be different. Right. If the pshat was, by the time you beat the ger, he already had no kids. So then there was never a chiyav mamonis in the first place.
Right.
But here's a tricky case. At the time of the Hezek, there was a chiyav mamonis. At the time of the Psak Bezdin, there was a chiyav mamonis. It's just later the chiyav mamonis fell off. So how do you look at it?
So if you borrow money from a ger and he dies, you don't have to pay him.
If there is no yorshim. If he dies and there's yorshim, we got to give the yorshim. But if a ger dies with no yorshim, so where does the money go to? There's nobody.
Why wouldn't that apply without a ger?
Because most people have Yarshim. Most Jews have Yarshim. Everyone has a 14th cousin, an 18th cousin. Gerim have no cousins. If a guy is Megair, he's got nobody. He's alone in the world.
So he had a tour.
According to B'chaim, Malkus and Mamanis, it's K'day Rishasa. It's not a P'tur.
Not P'tur. Now, there's no P'tur. So now we don't have Kimle.
So there's
no P'tur. So
L'chaira. That's what one would have thought. So what do we do in this case? According to this idea, right? You can also debate that, because maybe K'day Rishasa is dependent upon the time of Psak Bezdin. And Bezdin Paskin, one of the two. When does the K'day Rishasa clock start? So if you look over here, it's a Machloikish Rishayim, like everything else in the world.
It has nothing to do with Kimle B'Dramane anymore. It has to do with what happens when Bezdin makes a Psak, and then something else happens.
Well, it has something to do with Kimle B'Dramane. Because the whole reason why you putter is because the reason why you didn't get Malkus in the first place was because of the mummies.
Now that there's a psak din, that's it.
Okay,
start anew.
That's one way of looking at it. That's one way of looking at it. One way to learn this shiloh would be the simple way. That we don't look later on. We look at it right now. Ba'asher Husham. You went to Bezdin and Bezdin Paskin, Malkus, Misa, Mummies, Malkus, go home. Either later, we don't care about later. What would happen? Let's say the guy never pays the mamonis. The guy's a real jerk. He never pays the mamonis, and Bezdin doesn't enforce it, whatever the case may be. Lemafrei, he's chayim malchus now. Chayim not. Because Bezdin made a psak that you have to pay mamonis, and that because of that chayim mamonis, the chayim malchus falls away. So it falls away. That's what one would have thought. Take a look at Tosfos and Makis. Right, right. So let's say something happens. So let's take a look. So this is a machloek. We're going to talk about three cases today that are going to be very relevant to understanding this mishalim v'enolik. This is case number one. This might be perhaps the most extreme of the cases where you had a chiyuv mamonis and you had a psak from Bezdin to pay the mamonis, therefore exempting you from the malchus, and then later the chiyuv mamonis kind of fell apart. That's one case. So let's see. Tosfos and Makis number three daf tazayin. Tosfos is talking about a case of a ger. And Tosfos writes over here. He says, in the case where the ger dies, why is it any different? He's not going to pay. Im kain bitlui velilki veleka na mishtei rishois. Says Tosfos, if the mamonis falls away because he's ger shemaisin in the yarshim, there's no longer a chiyuv mamonis. Says Tosfos, it's partial. You go back to the way it's supposed to be. He gets malchus because it's no longer shtei rishois. Shtei rishois means Bezdin can administer two punishments. Bezdin is not administering two punishments. They're only administering the malchus. That's shitas Tosfos. I didn't put it on the page, but the Ramah disagrees. The Ramah in Kedushin argues, he says, no backsies. Once there was a psak of Kimle b'diram b'nei mishalim ben aloike, it doesn't change. That's
why should it matter that the punishment can't happen? As long as Beis Din can give it, then that should trigger the Kimle b'diram.
That's part of the question is, when does the trigger start? When Beis Din makes the psak or when it comes down to Lamaisa?
So the Beis Din is mechayev the guy, he has to pay $100, and he doesn't have $100.
Yes.
He's not going to work for the next 20 years.
We're going to talk about that. Good.
So
there's an amazing Taisirid. Good. There's a Taisirid number 11 in Bom Mitzia that says a Gevaldik Echidish.
I knew that.
You knew the Taisirid. It's a Mardika Taisirid. We'll read it inside. The Taisirid says, let's say you have a guy, Beis Din Paskes Mammon and not Malkus. And then the guy's broke, doesn't have a dime. So the Taisirid says, we changed the rule. Now he gets Malkus. Now, what's the problem with that Taisirid?
Wow.
You'll get money later. What do you mean? No one's broke forever. You can borrow money, you can get a job, the government will give you money, right? Go collecting. It's a Pella.
Why can't you make it worth like you do
right now? Right, right. Because the din of a nimka big nevo, says only big nevo. Only big nevo. Not for anything else. If a guy's mazik another guy and he doesn't have the money, we don't sell.
You put a lien on his house.
Right, right. So we'll see how that makes sense in Svar. But in Lomdis, L'chayr, what the Taisavir is saying is that if you're not paying the mominis, the malchus comes back to being in play. But if the pshat would be like Reb Chaim said by Misa, it's a ptur, so then you have the ptur. Who cares? Clearly, these Rishonim, or at least they're possibly getting into the notion that it's not a ptur, it's a technical legal issue that you can't administer two punishments. But I'm not administering two punishments because the guy's not paying. What happens then? So the Ramah disagrees. So we have Machlokes Rishonim number one between Tosfos and the Ramah. Tosfos holds that if you're not administering the mamonis because there is no chiyuv mamonis because he's a ger shemeisvei in the yarshim, we don't say kim lebedirami. While the Ramah says you still do say kim lebedirami. That's Machlokes Rishonim number one. Let's see another Machlokes Rishonim. Number four, the Torah. Hachoyvo be'evet kanani shaloi potter. Now we know that a person is allowed to have two types of avodim. One's an evet evri, which is a terrible business investment. Don't buy evet evri, because you got to treat him better than you treat yourself. So it's not worth buying an evet evri. So if you're going to buy an evet kanani, buy a guy. You can buy a guy, you can treat him however you want. Right? We're not getting involved in now what the Torah outlook on slavery is. Obviously the Torah has slavery, so it's a different kind of outlook. But let's say you beat up your evet kanani. Right? You beat up your Evet Kanani. You're in a bad mood, and you take it down to Evet Kanani. So, what's your halachic status? So, the Torah, it's really a Mishnah Baba Kama. The Mishnah says, Achoyu be'Evet Kanani shaloi potter. You're potter from any financial payments. Why? Because he's mine. What happens if a guy goes home and breaks up beats up his car? He takes a hammer and starts smashing his car. Who's he pay the mamonis to? Nobody. He just mazik himself. So, he pays his right pocket to the left pocket. But if I beat up your Evet Kanani, Achoyu v'loi bo acherim, Nezik v'tzar v'shev v'zaboishes. But if I'm choyv someone else's Evet Kanani, I got to pay top dollar. Because your property. Your Evet Kanani is your property. It's like your behemoth. It's like your karka. So if I'm choyv my own Evet Kanani, I'm potter because I'm mazik my own property. If I'm choyv your Evet Kanani, I have to pay.
But it's not a din in the Doyish status of the person. It's in his ownership.
Correct. But here's the shiloh. Will there be makis? Will a person get malchus for being choyv in his own Evet Kanani? He's still a mitzvah Jew. We know the halacha of an Evet Kanani, he's like a mitzvah Yisrael. He's chayv mitzvahs kenoshim. He's like a woman with regard to mitzvahs. So let's say I beat up my own Evet Kanani. Would I get malchus for beating up my own Evet Kanani? How do you look at it? Now what's the other angle of the question? Well, maybe not. Maybe there's kim lebed rab mineh. Kim lebed rab mineh? How could it be kim lebed rab mineh? I'm not paying any mamonis. So this is the machloikis bach and beis Yosef. Right? So, number five. Hachoyvel be'evet kanani shaloi potter. The Mishnah says in Baba Kama and Hachoyvel that if you choyvel and you evet kanani, you potter from the mominus. Good, mominus. What about the malchus? Says the Ktzois, v'hainu afilu mimalchus. You potter even from the malchus. I the afagav the hecha the leket tashlumi bechoyvel mechayv bemalchus. Frektik Ktzois, why are you potter from malchus? There's no mominus over here. You only putter from Malchus when you only putter from Malchus when you hit a person and cause him damage because it's always gonna be Kim Lebed Ramine. But there's no Kim Lebed Ramine here because no Chiv Mominus. Says the Ktzois, no. Kivan de Ptura de Rabbi Eini Ela Mishum de Mashakona Evet Kana Rabbi, Havi Le Baru Tashlumin Ela She Rabbi Zoichem Emenu Achakach. Listen to Hazal Lomdus. Says the Ktzois, quoting Rabbi Yosef, you're not understanding how this works. When you're choyvel Yevet Kanani, it's not the pshat that you're potter. The pshat is you chayv to pay to the Evet Kanani. The moment you put the money in the Evet Kanani's hand, it goes straight to you because he's your Evet. Mashakona Evet Kana Rabbi. So we say, why go through the whole charade? Instead of putting the money into the Evet's hand and from the Evet putting it back into your hand, just keep it in your pocket. But be'etzem, says the Beis Yosef, there was a tashlum in here. There was a chiv mominus to the Evet Kanani. It was ki'ilu you paid it to him, and then he paid it to you because everything that he gets belongs to you.
This is also telling about love is when you pay the Naro, it goes to the...
Correct. We spoke about this right by Naro, when it goes straight to the father. How do you look at these types of tashlumins that really go one direction, but there's like a stop off in between? The Beis Yosef, again, the Ktzois is quoting the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef writes that really you chayv to pay to the Evet. It's just that once the Evet gets the money, it automatically goes back to you. So we say, instead of going through this whole game of you giving to the Evet, you just keep the money. But says the Beis Yosef, but in Lomdus, there was a chiv tashlumin to the Evet. And therefore, since there was a chiv tashlumin to the Evet, you do say, kim lebed ramine. And therefore, you say, kim lebed ramine, you don't get malchus.
How does an Evet kind of go free? You just release him?
He goes free with either a knock out one of his body parts, or you free him.
Well, you could free him.
You could free him, yeah.
So I guess the chiluk would be if there's a freedom now.
Right. So. Correct.
Oh, so what's
that?
Wait a second.
You don't get repoy for the Evet?
No, if you pay someone else's, I don't know. Shabbos uboishes l'odim. I don't know. I'm not sure. Oh, a second.
Now, if you hit his tooth, it says it
now. It's more complicated. I agree. Okay. Well, I'm not talking about when you hit one of the Rosh Hashanah. Right. Then it comes bon kachas. Yeah, I agree. I'm trying to stay away from that. I'm talking about your regular beat him. You punch him in the stomach, you punch him in the nose, nothing too creative. Yes, 100%. Yeah.
Sounds like you're putter. According to what you're saying, you really chayiv, but you don't have to do it because of technical difficulties.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, so pashup shapata means lemaisa. Lemaisa, you're not paying. He was saying Lomdus was saying that you're really chayiv and you're paying from the right pocket to the left pocket. Right, it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah and a Chayvah. Yeah, it's a Mishnah. Oh, the Mishnah says.
So there's a valid point.
No, but the point is this is the same thing. The Mishnah means Pata. Lamaisa, you don't have to pay your Evet Kanani. Maybe in Lomdus, it's like you did, but at the end of the day, you're Pata. But what's the obvious Kasha on this Beis Yosef? Just push it. Think about this for a second. He's saying that when a guy's Chayvah is Evet Kanani, he really pays the Evet Kanani. Then the Evet Kanani doesn't own it because Mashakon Evet Kanani Rabbah, so the money goes back to the Yadin. Why would you pay the Evet Kanani? If a guy dented your car, would he pay the money to your car and then the mail becomes yours because Masha Kana car kind of you? Why would you even pay the Evet Kanani in the first place? Mm-hmm. He's not a bailus in this matter. He's not a buyer.
You own his good.
You own him. He's your property. He's your behemoth. Someone's choyvel your behemoth. You're going to first say, well, first pay the behemoth. Yeah, and since dogs don't have ownership, Masha Kana dog Kana bailus.
It's just big tape recording.
That's not the lumness of it. That's not the way you look at it. You look at Evet Kanani as a shtickle kark. He's a piece of your property. So why at all should the money go to him? Again, from a halachic standpoint. I know from a moral standpoint, he's a human being and he has mitzvahs, but let's talk choshimish. When you're choyvel and Evet Kanani, it's the same thing as choyvel guy's property.
Does he have potential to become free at any point?
He does, but until then, he's a piece of property.
So is this Lomdus different
by the property
that has potential? I agree with you. He's obviously not like a property because he walks and talks and breathes, and he can be maybe even chayv and mitzvahs. But from a choshimishbet standpoint, you look at it as if you were mazik him. You're only going to give him the mumminess if you look as if you were mazikim. I wasn't mazikim. I was mazikim. It's my property. Achorinim, it's not my kasha. Achorinim have this kasha. Many achorinim have this kasha. What do you mean? According to this Beis Yosef, it comes out that the Evet Kanani is really a player in the sugya. He really gets the money. It's just that once he gets it, then the other automatically gets it. What do you mean? Why would you give him the money? Maybe a little different in the case of the Naira, because at least by the Naira, it happened to her. Just there was a din that the Torah was mechadish. The money goes to him. Not sure. But it's a funny lomdus to think about it.
He would be freed in the meantime, and then he would get the money.
You're right. So if he gets freed, we'll deal with it. But, you know, right now, when you hit my Evet Kanani, you dented my car. You dented my shore.
You hit your own Evet Kanani.
Right. Same thing if something like that. Let's say someone else would hit my Evet Kanani. You'd say the pshat is I'm paying the money to the Evet, and the Evet gives it to me because Masha Kona Evet Kona Rabbi? No.
You mean the guy that hit?
Yeah. It would be the same lumdus. It's my property. Again, I know it doesn't sound, morally correct, but a lumdus.
The question is, why is it nezek ribish? Those are things that have to do with
for
the
human.
With the person's own.
No, that's
pain, his suffering, and his thing. Why should it be measured in that? It should be measured in how much damage I caused the adon that he can't work.
Fine. So I'll give you that. Obviously, tsar is a different one. Tsar obviously is that he experienced the tsar, not me. So that's going to be Asmasha Kanev, it's kind of rabbi. I agree with you. But we talk about Nezek, let's say, right? Nezek. Who took the loss of the Nezek? It's not the Eved who took the loss, it's me who took the loss.
No, but I'm saying, but if you hit a behemoth, you don't owe the person, the owner of the behemoth, what the animal suffered. You owe the damages that were caused to me.
Because they were never misaking that.
So I'm saying, why were they misaking? So if you're looking at him as just a piece of cargo or a behemoth,
I hear.
The measure of damages doesn't have to do with a human's.
I mean, the fact that there are other tashlumin for an Eved Kanani is a right. Okay, but again, in the lumpness of who you're paying it to, it doesn't seem like you should first give it to the Eved and then give it back to the other. But as I talked to Beis Yosef, now why is this important for us? Because according to this Beis Yosef, what comes out of lumpness, that there really was a tashlumin taking place over here. When you were choyvel your Eved Kanani, you paid for that damage. You paid with it with a lumdish payment. What was a lumdish payment? That it went out of your pocket to the Eved, and the Eved got it, and once Mashkan Eved Kanarabi goes back to you. But you made a tashlumen. And since you made a tashlumen, says the Beis Yosef, the taka was kim lebed ram mine, that's why there's no mal.
So let's say you had no money.
Right?
In that case, maybe we'll get Malkus. Now, this is different than the case of Gera, boy say. Right? This is different than the Machoikis, Taisvis, and the Ramah. The case of Taisvis was a case where there was a Chiv Mamanis, and then it became that the Chiv Mamanis was impossible to pay. Here it's different. Here there was a chi of mamanis, and it was paid in some way in lumdus. That's the difference between the case of the Ramah and Tosfos. But this is also not so poshut.
Says Nara.
We talk about this, right? Yeah. That was a big shiloh by every time the Nara. Let's say a guy's ma'anis and Nara, and the money goes to the father.
Well, even away, so
correct. Correct. Same shiloh, right? So let's finish the Ketzais over number 5. The Ketzais writes, V'ayim Beis Yosef ulezeh kasav she'em dehim hu makah she'em b'shev ha'prut. It says the Beis Yosef, but let's go the other way. Let's say you hit your own Eved Kanani in a way that the damage was less than a shev ha'prut. So there's no financial obligation. Says the Beis Yosef, chayiv malkus. Then avatik b'chayiv malkus. Because there's no kimle. So the Beis Yosef is mamish understanding this kipshutoi. Every time you chayiv your Eved Kanani, there's always kimle. Why is there kimle? Because you're paying your mamish. Where's the paying mamish? Not one dime went out of my pocket. The answer is it was a lumdisha payment. The money ki'ilu went out of your pocket to the Eved, and then the Eved was kainet, and it goes back to you. So it really was ki'ilu you made a tashlumin. Which you can argue on that also. One could argue that tashlumin doesn't mean lumdisha tashlumin. Tashlumin means actual payments. This is not an actual payment. This is there's no money was transferred from any pockets to any pockets. So call this a tashlumin. Okay. Now comes along the Bach, number 6, left corner. Bach disagrees with the whole Beis Yosef, as he does very often. Says the Bach, no, nothing doing. He writes, Elo b'tashlumin b'l'chud kom ad potter. Says the Bach, that Mishnah, Baba Kama, and that Torah that says, when you choyvel b'avdi k'nani shalom, when you choyvel your own Eved k'nani, your potter, it means only from mamanis, avu malkus v'adei chayiv. Says the Bach, well, you're 100% getting malkus. V'adei chayiv afilu yesh b'shova pruta. Even if there's a shova pruta. Now, why is that a chiddush? Because if it's a shova pruta, then there's a mamanis obligation. And even though it's a mamanis obligation, we don't say kim le'ev yirab minei. Exactly. Kol shekein b'she'im b'shava pruta. Goes without saying if there's no shava pruta of mamanis obligation. The kivam de be'evet shaloi leka tashlumin. Zakti be'pach. Since there's no monetary payment to your own evid, in kim pshita de chayiv malkus. It's partial, you're going to get malkus. So what does the Bach hold? Yeah, David?
There's no monetary payment. All these other examples with the Gair or whoever, you could make that payment as a legitimate payment that something might happen that...
I mean, at the time, you're obligated to pay.
Right.
But over here...
This never was.
Because it never left your rishus.
Correct.
It really never was a payment. So in other words, it's
he looks at the actual.
Do you look at the theoretical or do you look at what we call bepoil?
No, because can the Eved Kanani actually be kohen as something?
No.
So that he never could have been Kone. Right. Even if you had a chiv to give it to him,
right.
He couldn't even accept it.
Right, so what type of chiv is that? A chiv that will never come to fruition, is that really a chiv?
Not just that it will never come to fruition because he has to give it back to you because you really own what he owes.
He could
never accept it in the first place. He doesn't have the legal halachic ability to be Kone anything.
Correct.
So it's not that you give him the money or the person who hit him gives him the money. and then he immediately or simultaneously transfers to you because you own everything he owns. He never owned it in the
first place. No, he can. Master Kona ever Kona Rao. He Kona it.
How will you Kona it?
So there's this magical in between point. There's this in between point where he's Kona it, but automatically goes to the other. That's the way the Beis Yosef sets it up.
Simply saying so, that you look at the practical.
The Pasha, the way of learning the Machlokes Beis Yosef from the Bach is, what does it mean to make a payment? Is a payment a practical thing where you give money from A to B, a transfer of money? That's a payment. That does not happen here. There's no money transfer from the other into his Evet. The Beis Yosef comes along and says, no, there was a payment. You didn't see it. You missed it. There really was a payment. The Pshat was the other was chayv to the Evet, and he gave it to the Evet, and the moment it goes there, the whole charade. That's the machlokes. Now, is this machlokes Beis Yosef and Bach totally in the machlokes Tosfos and the Ramah? Is this machlokes about the case of Eved the same machlokes with the case of Ger? What would you think? I would think no. It's almost apples and oranges. Because the case of the Ger, I had a chi of mummenis to the Ger from the get-go. It just happened that I couldn't make it possible because the guy died with no yarshim. But I had a chi of mummenis from the beginning. The case over here, Yesh Lod, and the debate is, did you ever really have a chi of mummenis in the first place? The Bach is saying you never had a chi of mummenis from the get-go. Because there's no such thing as a chi of mummenis to your own Evet. However,
he might even say there is, but in with regard to Kimlay, there's no such thing. That Kimlay requires an
could
actual...
Could be.
It might be in some other realm of...
Possibly.
Halacha, maybe there is.
Right.
But over here, we're not... We're
correct. How do we look at Kimlay? For the din of Mishalim Vein Eloike, what do you need? Do you need to have a practical Tashlumin, or you need to have a theoretical Tashlumin? That's a shame.
I'd also call it on the Lashon of Mishnah Patur.
What does Patur mean? Correct. That's part of Machlokes Beis Yosef in the Bach, right?
But what does the Gemara say on that?
Nothing garnished.
We don't know what that Patur means.
That's right, doesn't say. Now, comes along...
Yeah, according to what you were saying earlier, that if you do an Evet, I have to spend in the car. Right? So if I hit myself, am I Chayav Malchus? So is that Evet Kanani deemed to be almost an extension of me?
No. He's a person.
Okay.
For Malchus purposes, he's a person. My point is for Choshen Mishvat purposes, he's a car. Mm-hmm. That's my issue. I don't look. I mean, I Evet Kanani is definitely a person. He can be chayiv in mitzvahs. He's shayich to mitzvahs, so he's got to be a human. The question just is whether or not in Choshen Mishpat we look at him as one of the parties in the. Meaning, again, no one's ever going to say that a guy hits your car. You say, well, you really should be paying the car, but we don't make payments to the car, so pay me the money. And the guy would think you're nuts. So that's the way I look at an Evet Kanani. He's my property. Pay me for damaging my property. Now you'll say, well, he's a person. I agree. And I respect him very much, and I wouldn't go around hitting him. But for the Choshen Mishpat question, I look at him as a piece of property. Now, Rabbi Chanan over here writes a Gevaldik Yechidish. Rabbi Chanan in Kovit Shurim, Rabbi Chanan writes the following. Rabbi Chanan says, not like me, or not like everyone here. I don't feel so bad. Rabbi Chanan thinks that this Beis Yosef is directly connected to this Tosfos that we started off with. Again, Tosfos' case was when there was a Chi of Momenus to the Ger and a Chi of Malkus to the Ger. Bez and Paskin pay the Ger and don't get Malkus, but then the Ger died with no Yarshim, so the Momenus kind of just fell apart. So Tosfos says, in that case, bring back the Malkus. The Beis Yosef was talking about a different case. Beis Yosef was talking about a case where you hit the Evet Kanani, so you really Chayiv Momenus to the Evet Kanani, but you pay the Evet Kanani, and then he gives it back to you because Mashakon Evet Kanarap. Says Rabbi Chanan, number 7, V'chei mevur b'divri toises makas tev tezayin, tehechad in ischayiv l'ger, v'yachakach meis ager, chayiv malkas. Says Rabbi Chanan, what do you see from that toises that we started off with? That when you're chayiv mamnes to the ger, and then later you become potter, then the chayiv malkas comes back. U'mochach mizeh, what do you see from there? Da'ad the mamn poitem imalkas. When does mamn pater malkas? El ein apirish the chi of mamn poitem malkas. Says Rabbi Chanan, it's not the pshat that the chi of is what paters you. The obligatory responsibility. Elo de tashlumen hamamun heim b'makay malchus. It's the fact that the money payment is what exempts the malchus. The enifta mi malchus elo kishem mishalim. There has to be an actual payment. And therefore, says Rabbi Chanan, I disagree with the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef who says that there was this lomdusha payment, says the Rabbi Chanan, but you see from Tosfos, not like that. You see from Tosfos that you need to have a real payment, not a lomdusha payment.
What do you mean by malchus?
Meaning you have both, in both obligations.
Instead of.
I mean, the Torah said you don't get both, but when the Torah said one over the other, it didn't mean there was a chiv of one over the other. It means that you're actually going to give the mamonis. So therefore, says Rabbi Chanan, just like in the case of the Beis Yosef, if you never paid the Eved, so that should be like the case of Tosfos.
You know how would get
killed for murdering. Again, with respect, I would disagree with Rabbi Chanan. I would think that maybe the case of Evet Kanani is better. Because there was a payment. It was a lamdisha payment.
Why can't it be a real payment and then kind of have it come
out? Right, right. So because that's the halacha, Chazal say don't go through the whole procedure. Just keep the money in your pocket.
But if you went through the procedure, you don't get the, and
you're, they'll still argue that's not really a tashlumin. That's a shayla. Rabbi Chanan's point is, what you see from Taisvis is that you need to have real payments. You need to have real payments. Now, what I would also argue a shtickle is...
But he, in other words, he's tying the machlokas...
Yes. Rabbi Chanan is connecting Taisus to the Beis Yosef, which everyone here told me, no way, they're so different, right? Rabbi Chanan says, no, they're the same. And therefore, Rabbi Chanan has a kasha that this Beis Yosef is against Taisus in Maseches Makis. The Beis Yosef who said that when you make the payment to the Eved Kanani...
He's
not saying it's a kasha, he's just pointing it out. I would have disagreed with Rabbi Chanan. Respectfully, of course, and say Mechat Taisa, they're the same. In the case of Taisviz, there you're never paying a dime to the Ger. You're not giving him a cent. Because there is the Chiv Mamnes evaporated. By the case of Eved Kanani, you are making a payment. It's a more lumdish payment. You don't see it practically, but it is a payment.
It's interesting. The Chiv Mamnes never, it didn't even evaporate. It never got off the ground to begin with.
Which case? By Eved?
No, it did get off
the ground. No, it did. It started in Bezin.
No, there's no Yoshim.
No, but I started with the Chiv Mamnes. And then it evaporated.
As soon as they passed, there was no Yoshim.
No, they died later. They died later. When the Bezdin passed in the Ger,
you should have paid the Ger.
So then the Chiv evaporated. What happens when a Chiv evaporates? That's not the same thing as the case with the Eved Kanani. By the Eved Kanani, the pshat is, I would tell you, the Beis Yosef would tell you, I paid the Eved Kanani. You don't understand it because you're not so lumdish. Okay, so put on lumdish glasses, you'll see that I paid him. But B'chon is saying, no lumdish payments. A payment is a payment. Was money transferred from Ruvain to the Eved Kanani? The answer is no. So says Rabbi Chanan, if the rule of thumb is actual transfer of money, you don't have that in both cases.
So they never got off the ground.
They never got off the ground. That's Rabbi Chanan's point.
Better makes sense. I don't want to heal lumdus with the money. I just want my money back.
That's what he's saying, how do you learn Kedei Rishasa?
Mamanus by definition means there's some...
But how do you learn Kedei Rishasa? When the Torah exempt you because you're giving one and not the other, what does it mean? Does that mean...
I want to know if you got it or you didn't get it.
That's Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan is very practical. The poil. I want to see money transfer.
He just couldn't keep it.
No, we don't even bother going through the procedure because.
Well, why not?
What's the word?
That he's able to be Conan.
But it's a waste.
That split second, he owns it.
That's not a payment. That's just a payment. You put the money down.
On one hand, you're saying that the Eved is not off the ground at all, and less reason to say Kimlay.
I like to keep things interesting. What do you mean? I got to play both ways. I don't know. I'm not sure. Again, Rabbi Chanan puts these two sugyas together. I don't know if they're so similar, the two sugyas.
What do we mean when we say the Eved Kanani is not Kohen? Isn't he Kohen for his mom? His Ogdon? What does it mean? He's like a Jew. He's a woman.
No, he can't be Kohen any mummies. Any mummies.
He can't be Kohen for his who's.
He's Kohen for the master, but the master is the one giving it here.
Okay.
So when he gives the money...
So he's Kohen if... It occurs then. It's not like he can't be Kohen. So
that's part of the Shaila. That's Mamish the Shaila.
You can't make the argument
that's part of the argument. The Beis Yosef, the Bach will tell you that there is no payment taking place over here. The Bach says there is no payment here.
Right, but according to Beis Yosef,
Beis Yosef right.
He is Kohen, it's just that it doesn't matter.
So that's why I would have thought that Rabbi Chanan, that's why I think it's a chiddush that Rabbi Chanan puts these two sugyas together. By the case of the Ger, there is no payment there. The payment obligation evaporates, it never happens here.
But there was at least a real obligation.
Okay. I'm saying,
at one point,
correct.
There was a real
obligation. There's milas and chesroinus to each case. The case of the Ger, you started off with the Chi of Mammas, then the Chi of Mammas evaporated. The case over here was you might have never started off with the Chi of Mammas, or the flip side is, you started with a Chiv Mamnes and you actually paid it.
And you paid it.
Yeah.
I was going to say that Rabbi Chanan doesn't fit in as well with the wording of Ula.
Right, Ula says...
That Ula is concentrating on the Chiv as opposed to the practical payments.
Right, right. The Lashon of the Gemara is somewhat vague. Mishal even a like it, right? Kol
Echadikim...
You can't be Mechayvim.
They can't cause him to have a Chiv.
Right, so you're saying it's not totally in the Bepoil, it's totally in the Chiv.
Okay. It seems.
Sounds like from Lashon HaGemara. Yeah, it's a good point. That's really going to be the Iker Shaila in our sugya. Is it about the Bepoil Dika payment? Or is it about the Chiyuv, the theoretical Chiyuv? The fact that there was a Chiyuv hovering over. So now let's try a third case. Let's say a guy punches someone else in the face. He breaks his glasses, breaks his nose. Mumminess. There's mumminess and there's law for hitting him. But the Nizuk says to the Mazik, listen, I know you're strapped for cash. I'm Meichel the mumminess. You don't have to pay me. Would he get Malkus now? For the love of hitting him?
No.
Why?
Depends.
You're not getting both.
That's like the first case then.
There was a chiyuv.
Wait, was he Michael before?
No.
Paskin or after?
Was Michael after? They come to Bezdin. Bezdin says, okay, Reuven, you owe Shimon $50 for breaking his glasses, and now you get Malchus for hitting him, and Mishal Menon like it. And right away, the guy jumps up and screams, no, 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 it's okay. Be Moichel the Mominus.
Is that considered equal to payment?
Oh, so Yesh Lodon, what's Mechila? What's a Mechila? How's Mechila work?
Like you paid him, paid
him back. Is it Ki'ilu like you paid him
and paid him back?
And paid him back? Or maybe just...
Why is it any different than the first case?
So, is it like the first case of the Ger with the... With, right. Is it like the case with, again, the first case, the Chi of Mamas evaporates?
Here it does also, because he...
But how does it evaporate? That's what I need to figure out. How does it evaporate? You're right. They both go gone. How do they go gone?
The
Chi of doesn't go in.
That's the key word. The fact that the guy was Meichel, the receipt of the money...
How does that look? How
doesn't change that the Chi of existed.
So what did it do? It was a Chi of it. It's like you paid him.
Yeah.
So let's see. So if you look over here, number 8, the Sukkah's David of David, Kiyat writes this. In the Yesh Loimar, the Zem is Stavra, it's Pasha to him. If the friend would be Moichel, the other guy, for punching him in the face, lo yischai b'malchus. There's definitely going to be no Chi of Malchus. And he has a cute raya. Dimloy Kane, Behikar Rak B'Dovim Muat, Yimcholoy, Vaide Kane, Yischav Aloy, Malchus. Let's say you don't like your neighbor, and he hits you.
You'd rather
he get Malchus. The guy knocks you, he rips your shirt. The shirt costs $5. So you say to Bezdin, let me be Moichel Mominus. I want to watch him get Malchus. Good for neighborhood politics, right? So you say to Bezdin, forget the Mominus. I'd rather be Moichel the $5, and let him get 39 lashes.
Yeah,
so Zokter Sukkos David, it's posh, it doesn't work like that. Once you're Moichel the Chi of Mominus, the Malchus goes gone. Malchus is gone. Because Mechila is better than everything else. Mechila is the highest level.
Like
Tashlumin.
It's no worse than if I owe you $10, you say, you know, forget about it.
Right.
So nobody's going to say
Right. But what does Mechila mean? Isn't Mechila pshat that there was never a Chiv? Or Mechila was the fulfillment of the Chiv visa Mechila? Mm-hmm. Says David Kviat, the Kiman the Mocholoi Mikri Kemoisha Paraloi. So you paid it. Mm-hmm. The debt is paid. So if the debt is paid, you fulfilled one Risha, you don't get Malchus. Oy Mishum the Mechila Haveki Kabbalah, or we look at Mechila as if he got it. Now again, this is not
taxes
so...
Taxes you get paid for forgiveness of debt. It's as if you earned the money. In other words, right. It's like you...
But here's the question. Yeah. How is this different than the case of Mashakon Evet Kana Rabbi? Isn't that the same type of thing? By Mashakon Evet Kana Rabbi, we said, well...
No, not Michael. Because
I'm no. Full of it the whole time. And by definition...
Was there ever a transfer of money from the guy in this case? Was there a transfer of a pile over here?
No.
There wasn't.
A little bit more, though.
Well, what? You see it better in the case of Mashakana?
Because I need his Mechil in order for him basically to be patrick. So there was an action that somebody else had to take beyond me.
There was never a practical transfer of money.
No.
Right? So if you go like a Mechil, there's got to be a transfer of money. There's no transfer of money over here. But everyone understands it better than the case of Mashakana Evitz Kana Rabbi.
There's no control.
No, because they're the Torah's. Right. Torah imposed that one.
Meaning here was a personal decision that I made to be Mechil. And therefore, since I consciously made that decision, it's Kilu, somehow I'm more involved. Something like that. Okay. I just think it's something to think about. Everyone is so comfortable with this Svara, yet when it came to Masha Kanev and Kanarabba, everyone wasn't so... Just something to think about. So
as an aside, I don't understand his Raya. I mean, he's assuming you can't be Mochal and cause the guy to have Malchus.
Right. Maybe you could. Now, he's assuming there can't be that's where you can rig the system, that if a guy's Mazik you $5... That you can be Moichel and let him get Malchus.
Well, because the guy can pay the money.
Why not?
Maybe the guy can say, no, I don't want Mechila.
The question is when you have a Chiyuv of Mamo,
right?
Do you satisfy that by tendering the money or only when the person accepts? So if I go to the guy's house and I put
$10 would be good enough.
And I go,
100%.
You want
correct.
To blow away.
That's right. If you make a halachic teshlumin, you're good to go.
So that's the same thing. I'm in Bezdin. Here's a $10 check. I'm willing to pay it. You don't want to accept it. You want to be Meichel. That's your business.
No, but the question is, how do you know for such a double posh that you have the right to be Meichel? Maybe it's not your mominus to be Meichel.
Who controls the rabbi?
So the assumption over here is that I'm the Bala boss, right? You're asking me $5. So he's assuming that if I can be Moichel and you still get Malchus. That was his chap. His chap was, how could it be that if you're going to be Moichel in the money, then his guy's going to get stuck with Malchus because you'll set it up like that on purpose?
Maybe you could.
Such
that he's Moichel the money is as if the Hezek never occurred?
No. The Mammon is. The Hezek happened. Yeah. But the moment is...
But if he Moichel's the money for it...
But now he gets Malchus.
It's as if he got paid.
Right, so that's the point. It is as if the Hezek never occurred, therefore there's no Kimle involved.
No, we still have the lab. You still hit the guy.
Why would you say...
You can't take back...
Right, you need the Malchus.
Right. So, but the question is, do you look at this Mechila that there was a tashlumin between the two parties. Do you say there was a tashlumin? You didn't see
That's the point. If there's a tashlumin, there's a tashlumin. But if you say there was no hezek at all, then...
No, but that's not true. Why would you say that? Right. What do you mean there's no hezek? The Metzias says there was a hezek. The mechila... But the mechila is a momentous conversation. The guy wants to debate whether or not you want to make me pay. But the fact is, he punched me in the guy in the face. So if mechila is a tashlumin, so we look as if it's a tashlumin over here. But if mechila is that you could circumvent it somehow, let's say, so then you could debate. There was never really a chiyuv mamonis. There was never a tashlumin made. There was never a tashlumin made, so then maybe you should say the guy's chayiv malchus.
But mean, the same love should apply, because they only, you know, I think, administer the malchus if you have the physical ability to
good,
attend it.
Good, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in a second.
And one day later, you get sick, you lose your mouth.
So we'll see. We'll talk about that. He talked about the end of the piece. So says David Kriya. Now he drops a real chiddush on us, and he writes, "Vayin ba'achiyaz Eben Ezer Chav Zayin Shukas of the Mechilas Domi lePiroy Mitashlumen." He quotes from Rabbi Chaim Moizer that Mechila is similar to a payment. Now, there's a Rashi like that. I don't know why he doesn't quote the Rashi. Famous Rashi. We quoted it many times. Mechilas Kilu is Kabalti. It's like I got it. When you're Moichel something, it's a pshat as if I received it. So then, if you received it, that's a perayin. If it's a perayin, it's a tashlumin. Everything should be good. Then he writes over Yosef Gosov. Okay, good. This is what I want. The ein lanu chilek ma asa hanichva ba'amamin eshaloi im kibla namacha ulefize yeshloi mar says of David Kviat. Now let's go back to our three cases. We have three cases we talked about: choivul be'evet kanani, mechila of the nizik, and the case of the ger. Three very different cases in lamdis, perhaps. And he writes like this: ulefize yeshloi mar deshani gabi evet. He thinks the case of Eved is different than the case of Mechila. Kibin she'esh chiyav la'avdoi. Because at least according to the Beis Yosef, you actually have a chiyav to the Eved. V'ha'odin zoichim emenu v'oz hu moichal atzmoi. Imken ha'vizeh kemoi peroin v'yesh kamom rulchein in aloike. He wants to say that the case of the Beis Yosef is like the same case over here. There was a chiyav to the Eved. You did that chiyav, ke'ilu, in magic. And like you pay the Eved, and the Eved gives it back to you. So we look at it as if the Mominus went through the system like it was supposed to.
He's ignoring those kashas.
Of the Bach, right.
Yes. That you said to say he's correct. The car.
He's saying, according to the Beis Yosef's understanding. Yeah. He writes, Shaharei higia ze ha-momen le-tachlisoi. The Momin reached its purpose. Meaning the Momin did what was supposed to happen. The Momin went where it was supposed to go. It was supposed to go from the Eldoin to the Eved, and then back to the Eldoin. So the money went where it was supposed to go. Let's actually give the money to the Eved. The exact same things would happen. He'd give it back to me. So instead of me giving it to him and him giving it back to me, I just kept it in my pocket. But everything worked the way, meaning the system worked like it was supposed to. Everything worked the way it was supposed to. Masha Enkein. Yeah?
So you said the money went where it's supposed to go. Go back to the original Hakira when this was Kemoshe Porah.
Oh, good.
Kabbalah. There's no Kabbalah here.
Right. He's not going at that angle, right. He's not going at Kabbalah Choron Bepoyel. He's looking at it differently. Do you look? His Nakud is, did the money end up where it was supposed to go? Now, what difference does it make? Masha Ein Kim Beger Shemeis. Haloy Ein Azoyche Behachiv Lachamisa. Verak Shachiv Nifka the Ein Loy Mila Shalim. Says Reb David Kriya, but that's very different than the case of the Ger. He's lumping things into categories. He's saying the case of Eved and the case of Mechila, there we say the money went where it was supposed to go. The system worked. Mechila is a system, giving money to the Eved, never giving back to you, that's a system. But by Ger, the system didn't work. The Chiv evaporated. It made it impossible to do the Chiv. That case, that's different. So therefore, says David Kriya, the Gevaldik Chiddush. He thinks that even the Beis Yosef would agree in the case of the Ger, that it's very different, like Tosfos. Because in the case of the Ger, you never went through the process like you're supposed to. By the case of the Beis Yosef, and by the case of Mechila, the system worked. You did what you were supposed to do. You were supposed to either give it to the Eved and he gives it back to you, or you were Moichel. The money went where it was designated to go. But by the case of Ger, the money never went to where it was supposed to go, because it just fell apart. You never could give it to the Arshim. So we would have thought, Faker, who cares? The Chiv also fell apart. He's saying, no, when you have a Chiv that fell apart, it's not the same thing as a Chiv that was fulfilled via other options.
And just on the Ger, the cases that he died immediately, not from the...
No, he dies afterwards. After the Chiyav Bezdepas.
There was a period of time where you could have...
That's right. That's another element to the equation. There was a time where there was a real Chiyav Mamas.
That's always an issue. Correct. You could owe money for 20 years. Right. I mean, at what point do we say you didn't pay the
Mamas? Right. That's another element to the question. Correct. Another element to the question is maybe...
The guy could have died the day after.
Right. But the question is, do we say the clock for Kinley starts Apsak Bezdin? or the clock for Kimle extends. We'll talk more about this, and we'll see in a second other Marmor Kremis about it. But so that, so again, so the takeaway is, how do we look at Kimle B'Dramine? Do we say you need to actually have a fulfillment of the Chiv? Or do you actually have to have a Chiv? Or do you actually have to have a Tashlumin? All different Nekudas. But again, the three cases that we're focusing on today is the case of Ger, the case of Avdei Kenani Shaloi, and the case of Mechila, which they might be similar and they might be different. Let's talk about a fourth case. The Stipler talks about another Nekuda. What about a Roidif? So the Roidif, the Mishnah says in Maseches Sanhedrin, a Roidif, a guy breaks into your house. Baba Machteres. So in the times of the Chumash, if a guy breaks into your house, that's the way it is in Florida now. They just came out of Florida. The guy breaks into your house, shoot him on the spot. The police chief from one of these cities in Florida, save us time and trouble, you shoot him, no problem. You take care of it yourself. In New York, you do that, forget it, they'll lock you up forever. If you shoot an intruder in New York, forget it, they'll throw the book at you. But in Florida, but in Florida, one of these towns in Florida, they made a new rule, that if an intruder breaks in, you shoot him. Okay, that's what it says in the Chumash. Guy's Baba Machteris, ain't like Domin. You can kill him. There's a whole Shaila contemporary Rechreinim. Rasha Weiss talks about it. They ask Chaim Kanevsky about it. How does it work with Bismanazah? Guy breaks into your house with Bismanazah. Is it open fire? Can you just shoot him?
Yeah, totally.
Is the din of Baba Machteris, they gave Bismanazah also. So I would say it depends where you live. If you live in New York, forget it. Don't touch the guy. If he trips and hurts himself, right, he's going to sue you. You'll be in trouble. They're going to honor this guy by the time it's all done.
But if you look,
right? But if a place like Florida, it sounds like they said, you know, you can shoot him.
You're allowed to.
It's Rishus. So the Shaila is, the Mishnah says, let's say a guy breaks into your house, and while he's stooping around to steal the money, he breaks a lamp. So the Mishnah says he's putter. Come live with the Rabbi Mineh. He doesn't have to pay you for breaking the lamp.
Except he didn't steal anything yet.
No, he's a mazik.
Right.
He broke the lamp, right?
And he's
Chayav to pay, or? And he's Potter, because Kim Levi Dramini. Where's the Kim Levi Dramini?
Right.
So the Mishnah says, the moment he stepped into your house, he was Chayav Misa, because you could have killed him. Since you could have killed him, so he was open target.
It's not Misa's Bezdin.
Oh, good. It's not Misa's Bezdin, and B,
he didn't
shot and you missed him. You didn't take enough practice at the range to know how to shoot him.
Good.
So what do you see from this Mishnah?
Chayav Misa, you just have the rishus to kill him.
So that was a big shot. We had this many, many months ago. We talked about the lomas of Raidif and Kimle B'Ramini. It's a different type of Kimle, because it's not a Chayav Bezdin. Bezdin can't kill the Raidif. It's just he's open. Anyone can kill him. At least the owner of the house can kill him. But the Mishnah says in Daf Ayin, I think Ayin Beis, Ayin Aleph, that he's part of Kimle B'Ramini. How do you understand that? What's the lomas of that? What type of Kimle B'Ramini is that? Guy walks into a house, so you can kill him, very nice. But you missed him, you didn't kill him, you were too afraid to kill him, and the guy broke something.
Obviously, it's not from the angle that Bezdin doesn't have clearly authority to oppose to punishment.
Right, you weren't even there. Right? So it's clearly not coming from Bezdin's role of Kedei Rishasi. So if you look over in the Stipler, number 9, he has a nice piece over here. We quote some Achloikis Rishonim. Between Rashi and the Ramah, why does that name sound so familiar? Because we just talked about the Ramah by Ger. We had a Ramah by Ger, where the Ramah says if a guy's mazik, a guy steals his mazik a Ger, and Bezdin paskins that he has to pay and not get malchus, and he dilly dallies from paying, and by the time he comes to paying, the Ger dies and has no Yoshim. So the Ramah said, Kim Levi the Rabbi Mineh, he's potter, he still doesn't get the malchus. Well, Taisus argued, Taisus and Malchus said no. If there's no mominus, malchus goes back. That was the Ramah. Says the Stipler, very Geshmaka number 9, he writes, Umuvum b'divra Taisus Geshitas Rashi. He wants to say that Taisus and Malchus is totally in a machoikis Rashi and Ramah in Mesechus Avodah Zarah. What's going on in Mesechus Avodah Zarah? Rashi says over there in Sanhedrin, again, the case of this intruder. What's the deal with this intruder? He intrudes in a house, and therefore he's open-armed, anyone can kill him. But no one kills him. No one kills him. He gets out safe. Says the Rashi over there, Mikom Mokim Kimin Shalamaisa Loi Nasa Bo'i Neshahu. The Maisa, he didn't get killed. Loi Mechash B'Shtei Rishois. Rashi Sheet is that's not considered Shtei Rishois. Why? Because he didn't get the two punishments. He didn't get the death because he walked out scot-free. Dozeh ha-gazlim v'ha-mashkin is-chayif kvar b'poyol m'moyno l'shalim l'ager rakshah ach-chach meis v'yevshu l'kayim bo'oynish moment. Says the Stipler, doesn't that sound very much like the case of the Ger?
Mm-hmm.
By the case of the Ger, you were supposed to pay to the Ger, but you didn't pay to the Ger. The Chiv walked away. Just like you, the circumstances changed, and because of the circumstances, you are no longer in that original halachic status. Just like you could have been killed, but you weren't killed, you should have paid, and you're not paying. Says the Stipler, they're the same thing. So he says the same thing. And what is Taisus holding Marcus? That we don't call that Shtei Rishos. We don't care. We don't care that now you're not going to have to pay. We don't care. So says the stipler, same thing here also. We don't care now that you're not going to get killed. But you could have. And since you could have, right? And when the chiyuv started, you were subjected to death. Although it never ended up happening that way, we don't care. The clock starts at the chiyuv. As I like the stipler. So therefore says the stipler, number 10, what about the Ramah? He writes, "Ubehechuch tzarchoim eladasa Ramah, the gamkia gavna mechash vebeiz v'shoyis." The Ramah holds that's also considered shtei v'shoyis. Kivin shekvan eschayiv hamomim bepoil, rak she'achakach pokach chiyuv ha'machmas misas ager. Says the stipler had the Ramah understand it. The Ramah understood that when I came to Bezdin paskind, yechayiv momen and yechayiv misa, pay the momenis and exempt from the malchus. I don't care what happens afterwards. That's it. Bezdin Paskin, now you're potter. So therefore he writes, Shekibashik is crowned as Chayiv Hamomim Bepoyol. We don't care about whether you pay it or not. Once Bezdin Paskins, you Chayiv both, you can't be Chayiv both, and you only Chayiv one. Later on, I don't have to pay because the guy does no Yoshim, I don't care, says the Ramah. If it says the stipler, what do you do with the case over here with the Roidif? It's the same thing with the Roidif. Once the Roidif was Chayiv, meaning he could have been killed.
He was.
He was.
You have to.
That's the chiddush of Kimle. That's the chiddush of Kimle. But according to the Ramah, his lumbus is that I don't care so much about what ends up happening. I care about what was happening. The mice at that time, this guy could have been killed.
Right, even though it was only a Rishus.
Even though it was a Rishus type of Misa, but he had death on his head.
Kimle kicks
that's
in,
right.
You don't undo it because
that's
of the
right.
change in circumstances.
The slumness of the Ramah is that Kimle is defined by the time of when it happened.
So is that even true? You're on vacation. Your house is empty. The only reason why you're allowed to kill somebody if they're in their house is
so that's a shef.
You know,
so that's right? A
chef.
So the Mishnah writes over there.
Can't kill him just for stealing.
So the Mishnah says it depends. Right. If the guy who breaks in is a family member,
right.
So you know you're not going to shoot him, and you're not going to shoot him. So you know you're not. So then this doesn't work. There's only talking about a guy who breaks in.
No, but there's no stranger.
So then in that case, there wouldn't be.
Parallel the
same case of family. Again, we're talking.
But if somebody would have been home.
No. We're talking about a case with right. So in that case, there was no technical.
You might say there's no chiv.
There's no chiv moment because no one could have killed him.
You couldn't have gotten
him. Right. So therefore, so Zok the stipler, it's Tal Zebazah. Oh, so Mr. Shem, next week we're going to come back to this Tosis Rid that I told you about. What happens when the guy gets poor? Okay, and then we'll get into the sugya of Mishal Veinu Leikur. Yeah.